The way that was shared, so I'm just gonna add just to it. I'm like the Sarafenician woman. I just bring breadcrumbs. Nothing hectic. The main meal was shared on Sunday. So you don't even have to take notes. It's just a recap. No, it's not for better ranks. I wonder how I pass Africans in metric. All I know is reche. That's it. So we're talking about activating the blessings of God in your life. And there are many ways you can do that. Many ways. So the one aspect that was shared on Sunday is using giving as a way to activate God's blessing. So there are many ways. If you go through the journey of the Israelites in the Old Testament and some of the people in the New Testament, you realize that a lot of things activate the blessings of God in your life. Some of them, if you make God's people a priority, he will make you a priority. And also, if you are walking in the perfect will of God for your life, perfect will of God for your life, that in itself will release God's blessings over your life. So, but here we're just focusing on giving and my cramps from me with regards to that. Yeah. So you can read the first scripture.
Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 9, New International Version. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name.
Yeah, so I'm just going to read verse 3. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. And verse 4 says, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the ministry. You know, for me personally, one of the reasons, besides the fact that my giving is worship towards God, one of the reasons why I give and I offer in church is for ministries like Helps. Do you know, for me, because I know some of this money is used to help those that are less fortunate, those who are in need. Now, while I'm sitting on my table and chowing my sushi, as is the norm, there are... But it's saying, oh, barren women, so you must confess even things that are not. So as I sit and eat my sushi with my California rolls, but my hashiki, it's so good. So as I eat, verse 4 says, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Meaning, this is how I make it practical for me. When I'm eating and enjoying my meal, am I thinking of the less fortunate? And let's forget the whole world, in your own ministry. Are the needs of the people that you come to fellowship with on Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, are they met? That's one. That's one thing I always think about, which is why whenever my salary comes in, and I'm not bragging or anything, like, when my salary comes in, one of the first things I do so that I can swallow my California rolls with peace is I give to the church, because I know this money is used, besides advancing the kingdom, it meets the needs of others. And there are people who have dedicated or devoted their lives to serving the needs of the ministry. They also need to be looked after. So for me, I like to think of it that way. Like there are people who, you know, there are days where you wake up on a Monday where you feel like, hey, and you just don't go to work. But there are people who wake up every single day and they directly advance the kingdom of God. Directly advance the kingdom of God. So for me, that sobers me up. Now the Bible says in Philippians 2, Jesus, who was God himself, chose not to pursue greatness. He had humbled himself, offered himself to the church. So this was his giving to the ministry. Now, the thing with his giving is that, unlike some of us who believe in 10% or others who give 20%, he did not give 20% of himself. Do you understand? He did not balance the books and look at the ledger. No, he offered himself in fullness to the church as a sacrifice offering. Now, the Bible then says, therefore, and this therefore meaning something happened and then there was a therefore. Even OB can keep up there. So, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. So it was only after that he had given of himself, he was glorified and given a name that was above all other names. Now, the Bible says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. Meaning, he's the trendsetter, and I meant to mimic him. That's how I look at that scripture. So everything that he does, the same way he says, everything that I'm doing is because I see my father doing. Nami ayenza. So nami, as I look at my master, whatever it is that he's doing, I'm ought to mimic that. So meaning, to be elevated, biblical principle, to be multiplied, there needs to be an offering of some sort. So for me, the way I look at giving as well is that if I want to be multiplied and increased, I need to give off of myself. The same way for Jesus to be seated at the right hand of the Father, he had to give of himself. Biblical principle. So let's move to the next scripture without wasting time. Nobody, we are here to pray, so let's get to that. Yeah, you can read it, sorry.
Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44, New International Version. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Mm.
So the first point was the motive of giving of himself. Now this one is the quantity of what you give. Now the Bible says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large sums of money. And then by faith, Tina, multimillionaires in the future, throwing 1 meter, 1 bar. Just 1 bar, why not? Throwing 1 bar. Now, they are doing it publicly so that they can be seen that they are devoted to God. So their motive is not worship or offering or a sacrifice unto the Lord, but the motive is that they can be seen to be proper Christians. So meaning, if you are Bill Gates and you are worth $80 billion, now when it comes to offering, you take out 1 million. Like the man makes that in a month, actually in a week. He takes out 1 million, stands in front and throws it there and walks away. To some of us who our current balances are on the negative, we may, Makalo, this man took out a bar, like nje. Like some billionaire who he walleted 1 billion to the government nje, during COVID, just like that. So now, as the story goes on, it then says, the old woman who had nothing took out two small coins. Ne? Did not, asanga itlata, took out two coins and put into the treasury. That's all she had. Now, if we were to look at the scale of the giving, the way the world looks at it, Zuga, we would even give her back that Zuga. It's like, Mama, what are we going to do with this Zuga? But that's all she had. That is all she had. The same thing with the widower who prepared the bread for the prophet. That's all she had. She even says, after we eat this, we will go prepare to die. That's all she had. Now, this woman has given all that she has. Not 10%, not 5 or 15%, but she gave all that she had. Now, my question is, and I'm speaking to myself, with regards to my giving, am I like the multimillionaires or am I like the old lady? Now, if I'm not like the old lady, then why am I giving? I think we need to reevaluate why we give. Why do we give? One. Two, God says gold and silver belong to me. The money that you have, the one that you are struggling, or let me say I, the one that I'm struggling to give, who does it belong to? So I'm just a steward. I'm meant to be faithful with what he has given me. The things, because God has given us dominion on earth, there are things that he can't physically do because we have the dominion. It's not like he could give a billion right into the account like that. It has to be through a vessel. Now, if he has entrusted you with his money, yet you are not doing what you're meant to be doing with it, then who are you really worshiping? And the question is, why do we give? Why do you give? Is it a tick box? Getting feel sharp with at least I can eat my California rolls because I've given. Or is it because I'm doing, because I have a revelation of what God has said I must do? Let's move on to the next scripture. Let's not waste time. Yeah. Oh, last two scriptures. Yeah.
1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, New International Version. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.
Once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, that time, Mfundis was backslidden at the time. Ne? Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, you see that, Linto Young Pot. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. In her deep anguish, this is what she wanted from the Lord. This is like a Land Cruiser 4.5 GX 4.8 diesel. It's like this one. This is what she wants. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son. If you look into a servant's misery and not forget her, and but give her a son, meaning, don't forget me because this is the one thing that I need in life. This is the one thing that I need, nothing else. Now, once you have given me this thing that I want, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. So for all the business people out there, now, this is like you praying, Father, instead of making 1.5 meter per annum, I am praying, Lord, because dead in Khelila, sheriffs are left, right, and center. I am praying that next year you give me an extra 1.5 so that 1.5 I can give it to your church. Like, do you get it, Bob? Already I'm not surviving on the 1.5. But yet I'm saying that if you give me another 1.5, I will give it to the church. So the thing that is keeping me, that is giving me sleepless nights, every single day, that is giving me sleepless nights, that thing that if you were to give it to me, I will give it back to you, Father. And now the condition is not that if you give me that 1.5 and I give it back to you, I know that you will bring 3.5. That's not what Hannah is saying. She's saying, once you give me the son, I will give him back to you. Not that I will borrow him on 25 December or New Year, he'll come spend 2 weeks with me. No, I will give him to you. So the blessings that you are asking from God, here we look at monetary things, we're looking at money, obviously. The money that you are praying for, that you believe, Gutu, when I have this, then I have made it in my own eyes. You are saying to Father, if you give me that, I will give it back to the church. That's the extra. Now, if Hannah is willing to give that extra to God, now let's look at your finances. The bonus. The bonus that you have been hoping for, that 150K, where is it going? The increase, when government has decided to give you that 3.5%, like, what are you going to do with 3.5? Like, the 3.5%, you're saying, Father, whatever Ramaphosa decides to give me, that I'm giving it back to you. With no conditions that once I've given it, next year I'm trusting Father that there will be 10%. Like, do you see the level of worship and sacrifice Hannah made here? Now, when I look at Hannah's sacrifice and I look at my finances and my offering relationship with God, how do I compare? Then the question, it goes back to the question, Uguti, why am I offering? We know it's no longer the law. The Bible does not say give the 10%. So why are we offering? Why are we doing it? Because it's no longer compulsion. Why are we doing it? Hannah was made fun of by the other women, and her answer is that, Lord, you may give me a son, and this son I will give him back to you. That's Hannah's prayer. It makes you question your commitment. Yeah? Can you read the last scripture for the night before we pray?
1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 20 to 21, New International Version. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, "May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and give to the Lord." Then they would go home. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord.
Okay. Can you go to the beginning? Side observation. Eli was properly backslidden here. Like properly backslidden. The man in G, Beangeko. Yet, just as a side, yet he released the blessing in his backslidden state. Hey, that's deep, yeah? That's deep. So it makes us question the man of God that we no longer consider as usable. What can God do through them? In his backslidden days, the man commanded the blessing and it happened. Huh? How much more a vessel of God that's still in the light? Huh? One of the things of God, man. Yeah, saying, may the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord. Then they would go home, and the Lord was gracious to Hannah. I'm reading it again. So, Hannah gave what was dearest to her as an act of worship and sacrifice. In her mind, she was not going to have kids. In her mind, she gave Samuel over to the Lord. God, in his mercy and his grace, in his faithfulness, gave her 5 on top of that. That time she was praying for 1, but because she was obedient and she offered and gave everything she held dear, God gave her a multiplication. So sometimes this money that we are holding on to, that we feel like if I give this, I rent me, school fees nge me. The chicken paloni from Pick and Pay. It won't come out. So now the question is, just the question. Let's say if Hannah had not offered up Samuel, she was only going to have 1 child. Assuming she prayed, God listened, and she had the son. She was only going to have 1 kid. Meaning, if I'm given the 10,000 and I don't give it up, I will remain with the 10,000. Biblical principle. But because I took out of the 10,000 in an act of worship and I gave it into the Lord, not expecting a return, God in his faithfulness will multiply. That's how you provoke a blessing. The same way, Nami, if my daughter has not done anything in clean, watch this is not nothing, and she comes to me and she wants a skateboard, she's not going to get the skateboard. Hang it. She's not going to get the skateboard. But if she does chores, like when I get home, she lets me watch my channels instead of me watching these YouTube things, or makes me tea, then I will give back a multiplication. So on that note, let's stand up. We've been sitting for a while. So we are here to pray. So as the word of God challenges us at our point of needs or last lacha corner. So before we pray, there's one scripture I just want to read. Luke 16, verse 10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. The little that we are not faithful with, we will not be entrusted with the plenty, according to Scripture. It's that simple. So my thing is, I'm a scientist at heart, and I like experiments. This is my journey, yeah. I sometimes do an experiment with God. I'm a skeptic, I'm created like that. So God says, do one thing, I will do this. I already said he's not a man that he would lie, and he has placed his word above anything. I do the thing that he said I must do, and I wait to see the result. That's what he said. So for me, if I keep going at the path that I'm going at, nothing will change. Nothing will change. But tonight, the same way they say, if you don't start a business, you will never be wealthy. But if you start it, there's a chance you might fail, but there's also a chance that you might win. So if you don't start at all, nothing will change. So the path that most of us are on, what are the fruits? So tonight, let us challenge God at his word. Let us challenge and just see what happens. He said, test and see.